Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nyingar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Girl. Interrupted, a memoir is Susanna Kaysen's account of her confinement at McLean Hospital, a private psychiatric institution in Massachusetts. After she was admitted as an 18-year-old in 1967, published in 1993, the book combines memoir, psychological reflection, social critique, and documentary fragments drawn from Kaysen's medical records. Its central subject is not only the author's diagnosis of borderline personality disorder, but also the institutional world that shaped how that diagnosis was interpreted, treated, and remembered. Kaysen writes in short, sharply observed sections rather than a continuous therapeutic narrative, allowing the book to move between personal memory, portraits of fellow patients, and questions about psychiatric authority. The result is a compact but unsettling work about adolescence, mental illness, gender, and the fragile boundary between care and confinement. That remains distinctive because it resists simple recovery storytelling and instead examines how identity can be altered by both suffering and classification. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a brief consultation becomes a long institutional identity. One of the memoir's most important tensions begins with the disproportion between Kaysen's short psychiatric consultation and her extended stay at McLean Hospital. She is sent to the hospital after a crisis as a teenager, and what initially appears to be a temporary intervention becomes a major interruption in her young adulthood. This imbalance gives the book much of its critical force. Kaysen is not simply asking whether she was ill. She is asking how quickly a person can be transferred from ordinary life into a system where doctors, records, and diagnoses define the terms of reality. Her diagnosis of borderline personality disorder becomes a label through which her behavior is interpreted. But the memoir repeatedly questions whether the label clarifies or reduces her experience. By placing medical documents beside her own reflections, Kaysen shows that psychiatric authority can appear precise while still leaving essential human questions unresolved. The admission process, therefore, becomes more than a plot event. It is the mechanism by which a young woman's uncertainty, distress, and nonconformity are converted into institutional identity. Secondly, McLean Hospital functions as both refuge and confinement. Kaysen's depiction of McLean Hospital avoids a one-sided condemnation or defense of psychiatric care. The hospital is restrictive, rule-bound, and often alienating, yet it also offers shelter from pressures outside its walls. This duality is central to the memoir's power. For some patients, the ward provides structure, supervision, and temporary safety. For others, it intensifies dependency and separates them from ordinary development. Kaysen presents the institution as a parallel world with its own routines, permissions, prohibitions, hierarchies, and language. The ordinary markers of young adulthood, such as school, work, romance, and independence, are replaced by medication schedules, staff evaluations, and locked doors. This setting allows the memoir to examine how care can become control without necessarily being motivated by cruelty. The staff members are not portrayed as simple villains, and the patients are not reduced to victims. Instead, the hospital becomes a social environment where protection and captivity coexist. Kaysen's insight is that institutional treatment can be necessary and damaging at the same time, especially when the patient has little power to define what recovery would mean. Thirdly, fragmented vignettes mirror memory, diagnosis, and disruption, the structure of Girl, Interrupted is deliberately episodic. Rather than presenting a smooth chronological account of illness and recovery, Kaysen arranges the memoir as a series of short scenes, reflections, patient portraits, and documentary interruptions. This form matters because it resists the expectation that mental illness should be narrated as a clear descent followed by a clear cure. The fragmented design mirrors the experience of looking back on a period shaped by institutional routine, emotional instability, and later reinterpretation. It also allows Kaysen to place different kinds of truth beside one another. A medical record may sound objective, but her memory may capture atmosphere, ambiguity, and emotional consequence more accurately. The memoir style, therefore, becomes part of its argument. By refusing a tidy arc, Kaysen shows that psychiatric experience is often remembered in pieces, a conversation, a rule, a fellow patient's habit, a staff member's judgment, a document that feels both official and incomplete. The short vignette form also gives the book its sharpness. Each section isolates a specific pressure point, making the reader confront how diagnosis, memory, and identity interact without being fully reconciled. Fourthly, the patient portraits humanize mental illness without romanticizing it. Kaysen's portraits of fellow patients are among the memoir's most memorable elements because they resist both clinical flattening and sentimental idealization. The young women on the ward are shown through habits, speech patterns, conflicts, loyalties, and vulnerabilities rather than through diagnoses alone. This approach gives them individuality while still acknowledging the severity of their suffering. Kaysen observes how patients create forms of community inside an institution that also separates them from the outside world. Their relationships include humor, rivalry, dependence, tenderness, and fear. The effect is to make the ward feel socially complex rather than merely symbolic. At the same time, Kaysen does not romanticize madness as creative freedom or rebellion. The memoir includes despair, self-destruction, and the lasting consequences of illness. Its humanizing force comes from refusing to treat patients as case studies. They are people living under intense observation, but also observing one another, and the staff with intelligence. This shifts the reader's attention from abstract illness categories to the lived experience of being young, distressed, confined, and still socially alive within a highly controlled environment. Lastly, sanity and insanity are presented as unstable social boundaries. A central intellectual question in Girl Interrupted is how society decides who is sane and who is not. Kaysen does not deny mental illness, but she challenges the confidence with which institutions separate normal behavior from pathological behavior. The late 1960s setting matters because the memoir unfolds during a period of changing social norms, especially around youth, gender, sexuality, authority, and conformity. Against that background, Kaysen asks whether some forms of distress are medical symptoms, social refusals, developmental crises, or combinations of all three. Her own diagnosis becomes a case through which she examines the instability of psychiatric categories. The book's title, connected to Vermeer's Girl Interrupted and her music, suggests adolescence interrupted before it can complete its natural movement into adulthood. Kaysen's larger point is not that all distinctions between sanity and insanity are false, but that these distinctions are shaped by context, power, and interpretation. The memoir stands out because it makes readers feel the uncertainty of classification from inside the classified person's perspective. Recovery, in this account, is not a simple return to normality but a complicated negotiation with memory and labels. In conclusion, Girl Interrupted is especially valuable for readers interested in memoir, mental health history, psychiatric diagnosis, women's adolescence, and the ethics of institutional care. When it is not a self-help book and does not offer a clinical model for treatment, its benefit is intellectual and experiential. It helps readers understand how mental illness can be lived, observed, recorded, and contested at the same time. Students of psychology, literature, gender studies, and medical humanities will find it useful because it places personal testimony beside institutional language, showing the gap between a patient's inner life and the systems that classify her. General readers may value its brevity, wit, and emotional restraint, which make difficult material accessible without simplifying it. Compared with many illness memoirs, the book stands out for its refusal to impose a neat redemption arc. Kaysen does not present hospitalization as either pure salvation or pure oppression. She shows it as a contradictory environment where safety, dependency, surveillance, friendship, and loss coexist. Its enduring importance comes from this precision. It gives mental illness a human face while also examining the cultural and bureaucratic processes that decide what counts as illness, recovery, and normal life. If you would like to support Susanna Kaysen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.